episode of Meeks Coffee. We are Allie and
Leslie,
and we are ready for a new exciting conversation that boggles the mind but enriches the soul. And today we have Abby with us again, so we are so excited to continue the conversation from last time, but this time more in depth about the trends and social expectations regarding beauty. So
yay.
Excited, yay. Guys. Yes, Abby, please say hi to everyone.
Hello. Thank you for having me back on your show. It was excruciating to listen to my own voice.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, it was excruciating to talk to you guys.
Okay. But I'm very excited to be back. I'm just excited to just chat with you guys.
Yay. Thank you for accepting to come on the podcast again. Okay. So before we go into the actual conversation, I want to do a little icebreaker just to get us in the conversation mode. So let me ask you guys, and I will answer as well afterwards. What is something that you can recommend for us that you've enjoyed for the past week or two? It can be like a book, an article, music, movie, TV series, anything, skincare. So who wants to go first? Leslie?
Oh, I'm going first. I have been watching this documentary about Nam June Pik, and it's called Moon is the Oldest TV, I think. Let me confirm that. Moon is the Oldest TV, yes. And I'm only about halfway through it, but it's really well edited, and I really like learning about Nam June Pik. I've got to know him a little bit more over the years since I became interested in Korea and in art. And yeah, he's really fascinating the way he just like breaks all the conventions, and it's very refreshing. I love when people break conventions, even if they just wear different clothing out in public. I'm like, oh, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're wearing something different. Like, I'm glad you're doing something out of the ordinary. I'm always happy. Mm. So that's been really fun to watch, and it's available for free online on the PBS channel. Mm-hmm. So if anyone wants to Google that, you can certainly.
Yeah, I think
I might
check it out.
Yeah, it sounds
really pretty new documentary. It's from like this year, I think. So
ooh.
It says 2023, March 2023.
Oh, you googled it already.
She's fast, this girl.
Technology, you know, 21st century. Also, I didn't know about this guy. I think the name sounds familiar, but I'm not really familiar with his art or his work. So
he's very popular in Korea as well as in the U.S. I think he immigrated to the U.S., but don't hold me to that fact. That's why he's like Nam June Pik and not Pik Nam June. So
I can Google.
If you've seen like installation arts with a bunch of TVs,
oh,
you might
that's
have seen
him?
That. Yeah, that's one of his like signature styles.
Oh yeah, okay, I know that one. Yeah. Okay, so I am familiar with some of his works. What about Abby? Do you have something for us?
Ooh, it's, can't think of anything at the moment. I feel like the week's just kind of flown by. We started like doing some spring cleaning around the house. It's just maybe spring cleaning. there's a lot to get through, but you know, there's this level of satisfaction once you kind of clean out the pantries and sort out your stuff. I feel like I'm getting my life back together in a way.
Yeah.
So yeah, spring cleaning.
Yeah, for me, spring cleaning equals decluttering because I get overwhelmed about the amount of things I just accumulate.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does make you feel good. So you recommend for us spring cleaning. Good. I should do it. Okay. For me, I have this book that I received from a friend. It's called The Little Book of Joy. And it's really, really cute. It looks like a book for kids, but it's not. It's really happy-go-lucky kind of, like, inside.
Oh, that's cute.
It's really cute. So it's like for every year of every day of the year, there's, like, something to do or something about that day. For example, today is June 9th, and the title is Say Oops, and then it says, spill your water, drop your cereal bowl, miss the goal, when things don't go quite right today, just say oops. Oops is a silly word that's fun to say, and it means I didn't mean to do that, but I can fix it. Oops. It's frustrating when things don't go the way we want. Just remember, everyone makes mistakes. It's really interesting. It gives like some days is like tap dance today or go for a run or for a walk. It's like giving you a little bit of joy in your day.
Have you tried out any of those recommendations from the book, like tap dancing?
My first day that I tried that I started this book said to try something new, and I went to a cafe I didn't go to before in my neighborhood.
Could be a nice little like reminder or catalyst to do something new. Nice.
Korea does have a lot of like if I said it's saturated with cafes, but there's so many like fun ones. Like you can't really go wrong if you're like I'm gonna go to a new cafe. I mean, you're going to experience something new and it's going to be enjoyable because you got coffee. And like, how is that? That's always an enjoyable experience. So.
It is. And cafes, I think we've discussed about this in our cafe episode, but I really enjoy going to cafes because they help me, I don't know, get out of the house, do some work, drink coffee. And when I went to this cafe, it started raining, and I really like watching rain. So, to go back into our discussion about beauty and skincare, but this time we're not gonna talk about skincare. We're gonna go more into like how beauty trends changed over the year, how
Ooh.
people changed their views and everything. So, you know, we discussed with Abby before doing this topic, and she mentioned when we were talking that, I mean, you, Abby, I can just talk to you. Abby,
Oh,
you
yes.
mentioned that brands have suffered some changes over the years, and I'm just curious to hear what you mean by that.
To be honest, I don't quite remember. But just, I guess, when it comes to beauty trends, it's always changing. There's always something new, and it's not just in Korea. I mean, I can really only say from just my observation as a consumer myself. Yeah, I feel like these days, I'm more open. I feel like I'm more open to trying out trends in Korea, or in general, because makeup trends just seem a bit more natural, like makeup, lighter makeup. Yeah, and I feel like even in Korea, when I see like YouTube contents, like YouTubers and beauty content creators and trends and all that kind of stuff, there are so many more like variety when it comes to looks and aesthetics and how people look and different facial features. So I feel like, yeah, it just seems more inviting for me to try, even though I am Korean. Like there's something about me not really knowing how to work with makeup looks that were made for like people with like really prominent double eyelids and all that stuff, and I don't. But I feel like nowadays, yeah, there's just it's just yes, yeah, it's just more varieties and it's open and available for a bigger audience, I guess.
I know there's been some actresses or famous people, celebrities who've become really big, even though they don't fit past beauty standards. One being Kim Go-eun, I think, the
Oh, yeah.
actress who also doesn't have double eyelids, but she's a very popular actress. She's very talented, and then people think she's beautiful, even though she doesn't have like the double eyelids that have been popular. And I think there's also Hwasa from Mamamoo, who is not like the particular beauty. She's not even considered the most beautiful girl in her group, but she has this like something. Like she's so talented too, but she like a lot of people really like her looks as
Yeah.
well.
It's kind of crazy because like the actresses and singers that you just mentioned, like I mean for me they're like objectively beautiful. Right? Obviously they're
They are.
charismatic, they're good at they're talented, and that really adds to the I guess the appeal, I guess. But even just like I don't know, they look beautiful. And do you think that 15 years ago or 10, 20 years ago, when I was growing up, the standard of beauty, I guess, was still pretty specific. And it was, people with like double eyelids and like a really small face and like a really sharp jawline and all that kind of stuff. And I guess these standards still exist today, and it can be still pretty specific, but at the same time, I think, yeah, you know, I think the general public appreciating that beauty doesn't just come in like one face shape type, you know, like a certain look.
You did mention last time that you, when you were in Australia or New Zealand, you were looking in these Korean magazines for beauty, and you felt like you were so restrictive, and it was interesting to hear you say that you rejected them, like the very restrictive trends, or you have to look a certain way and you have to put your makeup a certain way. Do you still feel that Korean beauty is restrictive?
Ooh, it's a good question. I mean, I guess any beauty trends all over the world, no matter what country or culture you're from, is pretty restrictive to a certain degree, because it is like a standard of beauty, right? So it's just kind of a little bit different from depending on the culture and depending on the country. So even like in Korea, I would say, because like I am genetically Korean, so it kind of makes sense, like the skin tone and like it's a lot of makeup products are meant for people with like similar skin tones as mine, and so I guess a lot of trends can like work on me, but I guess like when I was growing up, and this might not necessarily be like a fact, it's just like what I experienced and how I felt looking at like just sections on plastic surgery in magazines made for young women. So yeah, I felt like and also people, like the culture in Korea in general, I think they're more open to kind of commenting about someone else's appearance, and it's not necessarily considered as being rude, because it's just part of a dialogue. You can compliment, but you can like it's very easy for people to kind of comment, oh, you lost weight, or oh, you gained weight, or you know. And growing as someone who has grown up like overseas, that was kind of, it took me a while to get used to it and understand like people aren't trying to like offend me necessarily. So yeah, I kind of don't take it as personally as I used to. But things like that, I think the cultural differences, so there are different values attached to beauty and all that kind of stuff. So I think it kind of took me a while to... I think when I was younger, because it was very different to what I saw around me and what I knew, because it was so different, I think I rejected it more. I was more wary of it. But now that I'm older and I feel like I'm closer to my Korean roots now that I'm older, and I feel like I understand the culture better and I feel more Korean than I used to, which is kind of strange. But so I feel like, yeah, I think it's not as jarring as it used to seem. For example, like, you know, we have a lot of friends who are from like all over the world, right, with different skin tones, different racial backgrounds and stuff, and I'm pretty sure like they might have a different story to me and how they feel about beauty standards.
I mean, I grew up in a culture that's really monoethnic. It's not that I never spoke to people who were different from me, but when you look at the statistics, like it's like 95% white, and a lot of people have lived in this area for a long time or a similar area, but they visit overseas. Like, so, I mean, you know, people have had other experiences, but beauty-wise, when I would look around, there did seem to be some pressure, because we all sort of just seemed to fit into like one kind of person or one kind of a girl. And in my head, it became thinness. Like, thinness was beauty to me. And how that came about, I don't know. But... like, because I wasn't thin for most of my young life, I thought, like, I'll never be beautiful. I'm not beautiful. And something that was really freeing when I went to university, like, my body didn't end up changing just because I had to, like, run from classes. But before then, just learning that there were so many different kinds of people who did not look like me and they had different beauty standards was the most freeing thing. Because I was like, oh, I don't have to, like, follow the thing that I thought was beauty, because there's so many other ways to do it. And of course, anthropology, learning that every day in class, played a large role. But I don't know, I really like talking about Korean beauty because I know it's restrictive. But because I'm not Korean, for me, I feel more freedom. It's like, well, I'm not going to like fit the standards there. I'm going to stand out no matter what. So whatever. I'm just like, I'll do what I want kind of feeling. But I think if you fit in, like you look like a lot of other people, you do feel more pressure. I don't know where I was going with that conversation, but that's where I ended up. So.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting too. Because yeah, like speaking of like weight, yeah, I think being skinny as a Korean woman, I don't know, in Korea, years ago, like the standard was you have to be 168 centimeters tall and 48 kilos. Like no matter how tall you are, woman has to be like 48 kilograms, basically. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense, right? But like celebrities and idols will come out on TV and people will like, oh my gosh, like you're over 50 kilos. And I feel like that was kind of a big part of the kind of, I don't know, discourse of the public discourse. How about you, Ellie? What do you feel about trends in Korea?
Well, I do remember a few years ago, even it was still about the thing about 50 kilograms or you should be 50 kilograms. So that was the most desired weight, no matter your height or your body structure.
Yeah.
And I feel like everybody just, and even on YouTube, there were so many like these gurus that were like, if you do this, you're like these exercises or diet this way to get 50 kilograms or how I got myself to under 50 or 50 kilograms. There were a lot of videos about that and people genuinely stressed about their physical appearance, and that's just sad, but I'm glad that it kind of died down. I mean, there's still pressure, but I don't feel like it's as much on, like, as restrictive, at least to the number of kilograms you should have. I feel like it's more relaxed. But there's still some kind of standard. As you said, there's always going to be a standard. And it's always changing, which is, I think, for me, really interesting that the standard changes over time. We're supposed to, quote-unquote, adhere to this standard, but then a few years or a decade after, it's just going to change, and then you find yourself having to adhere to a different one that you might not be able to fit in, or I don't know. I remember in my childhood, it was still that skinny girl type of look, very popular in the 90s, early 2000s, because of the low-rise crop tops and everything that are still are right now in fashion as well, again. I don't really like 2000s fashion. I am sorry, I'm just going to say it. I'm not a fan of low-rise crop tops, but army kind of patterns and everything, not my style. I lived through it and I'm done. But I'm so intrigued, like speaking of trends and standards right now, young girls are really interested, like young girls, I would say teens or early 20s, to dress like that, and I'm looking like that at that fashion trend. I'm like, I'm reminded of the 2000s that I lived, and I'm like, why would you wear that? For me, it looks bad, but I know they're enjoying it. I'm like, I'm not going to judge, but I'm like, how do they like it when I lived through that era and I hated it so much? And I just find it so interesting. And yeah, I don't know how generations feel. I feel like now growing older, I feel that change more with standards and fashion trends. And I recognize trends coming back in. Sometimes I feel different about them when I grow older than I had when I was younger. So, for example, corduroy pants, I used to hate them as a kid, but I really enjoy the fabric now.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that it's interesting that they change. So, I don't know. I want to look more into it and, like, talk to other people. Like, how do you feel about these trends? When you were a kid, or like, how about now?
Maybe when you're young, like, you haven't seen a lot of the world, and people, you don't know that there is another way to do things. So when you look around and that's all you see around you, you're like, this is the only good way to dress. I mean, when you're pretty young in middle school, and this is the only way to look beautiful. And therefore, if I don't fit the trends now, like, I'll never fit them because they'll always be the same. Right. Like, I think it's hard to imagine it being different until you're older, or you've met a lot of people who have different trends or different ways of living. And then you're like, oh, actually, like, this can change, and this probably will change. And I shouldn't be like, I'm out, down and out for my whole life. Like, I'm going to be on the periphery my whole life because I don't fit these. But yeah.
But I feel like when I was younger, we felt that the fashion trends that were a few decades ago were like outdated, and it's supposed to be a new trends and right now it's the same, like newer trends and newer trends.
On that note, I remember looking at my mom's old photos, and I thought I was so cool because every kid thinks they're so much cooler than their parents, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, mom, what are you wearing in this photo? Oh my gosh. It was like from the 70s or 80s. Like, what's wrong with your hair? And I thought, like, wow, I know everything. And so, yeah. Anyway, but now I look at her photos, and I'm like, you look awesome.
I actually always liked 90s, 80s fashion. And I was looking at my mom's pictures, and she threw away most of her clothes, so I couldn't inherit any. But where I was going with my idea, like, the trends changed so much. But when I was younger, I didn't know, as you said, I didn't know anything else. I just knew what I was seeing around me, and the local media. But even the local media, I feel like we had a lot of influence from more Western countries. But right now, I feel like teens have so much information to go through, and like other fashion trends and like history, and like right now fashion is a thing, so people are, if they are into fashion, they study like the history of fashion, and they see like other older types of fashion they sometimes go into, and they like it and start wearing that. And I don't feel like they're as much restricted to the current trend, and there is more flexibility to explore and trends that were in the past, and that's why I feel like they're bringing back a lot of things.
Yeah, and learn from the people's mistakes to like improve on the trends. Yeah. Possibly, I guess. Like, yeah. Just going with what you said, Leslie, about in Italy, about how when we're younger, you know, I guess it's easier to be kind of influenced by what is set to be trendy or not, because maybe you know, we're still trying to discover who we are, you know, sounds like a self-identity, and that, like, what we want, what we like, what we want to be like. I guess it's a confusing time, and we can only learn through experience, I guess. With trends and following trends, that's not a bad thing at all. Every culture, every person, I'm sure, like, at some point will be influenced by it to some degree. But I guess when it comes to just like speaking on Korean kind of standards specifically, and I mentioned how specific the standard could be, and that was kind of going back to the exact height that a woman, or exact weight down to the kilo of the ideal weight of a woman, I guess, no matter, you know, what your body type is, how much muscle, it doesn't matter. And with guys too, you have to be over 180. And there was this, like, it's not a meme, I don't know what to call it, but how, like, a controversy, I guess, online, where somebody said, if a man is under 180 centimeters, is that like almost like 6 feet, I don't know, then he's like a loser. And there was this outrage online in the community, 180 centimeters. Yeah, so like there was like this like huge outrage, and this was, I'm pretty sure it was like over 10 years ago. And so I guess people were recognizing that some of these standards are just ridiculous. It doesn't, you know, it's not flexible at all. Like growing up, there was like Vrain. So everyone had jaw surgeries, or a lot of celebrities and a lot of people too had jaw surgeries where they like shave the bone off your jaw to have this V-shaped kind of chin. And, you know, like, even with plastic surgery, I guess that there were so many trends with plastic surgery too, where like you would up team. It's like there's this little fold, this flap of skin in the inner corner of your eyes. If many Asians tend to have this fold, a lot of Caucasians don't. So in order to kind of make your eyes look bigger, they would not only do like a double eyelid surgery, but kind of cut the flap open to have a eye shape that's bigger and I guess more kind of similar to like a non-Asian eye, I guess. And so a lot of people did that surgery, and you see a lot of people trying to go back and kind of, 'cause when surgery is pretty new, like the technique isn't as good.
Right.
So yeah, so there's a lot of these things where it's really kind of, when I looked at it, it kind of broke my heart because I felt like these people are not, there's nothing wrong with them, but because of these like really strict, severe standards, they feel like they need to have this in order to be accepted or beautiful. And I mean, surgery and all that kind of stuff is, it's your personal decision, but it's just the kind of influence that a trend, quote unquote, like trend could have on
I
you.
mean, that's
Like,
more of a dangerous decision too, where it's not just like I'm going to color my hair because that's the trend, but
yeah.
and there are some surgeries that aren't as dangerous. Like I think the double eyelid surgery I heard is like not that big a deal. It's not that expensive, but if you like the jaw is dangerous.
Yeah, it's like a major surgery.
Yeah, and I've had a friend who's done it, but overall my pineal plastic surgery has changed a lot because I grew up in a culture that always spoke badly about it. The only cosmetic surgeries people would have were like when they got really old and just to get rid of a few wrinkles or like weight loss surgery that was popular. But people always looked down like on Hollywood actresses or actors who got surgery. But now after I've learned more about it, I don't look down on it anymore. And I think it's just something that people do. And I don't know. I would even think about getting it someday, but I don't want to because just that wasn't how I was raised, and that's kind of ingrained in me. But I think it's like anything. Like you can feel like it's never enough, and you want to keep going back and making yourself more beautiful and changing other things.
Yeah, I agree in that, like, having plastic surgery is your personal choice. So, it could be a number of reasons. I guess it's more that, like, the media and the beauty industry and the plastic surgery industry, like, really just throwing out that message and shoving it in people's face that, like, this is how you need to look. And as a young person or someone who's kind of, yeah, trying to discover who they are or their identity or their self-worth, like, could be very easily influenced by it. Maybe these days it's not as, plastic surgery is still very common, but maybe that kind of standard is maybe not as severe as it used to be. For example, like you have to be 48. I think people are recognizing all health, like people who work out and muscles and like all that stuff is actually good for you. And I think there is a positive change. I don't think we could ever get rid of these kind of, ever like completely eradicate these kind of trends, but at the same time, I think the awareness is growing. And in Korea too, maybe because now we are more exposed to like different cultures and different people from different cultures, and there are more foreigners living in Korea, and from this like really homogeneous culture, we're now spreading out. So maybe that's why there's more like more acceptance towards diversity than it used to be.
Talking about diversity and stuff, I'm just thinking that even in more individualistic or more Western countries, I still feel like there's this standard that people want to adhere to, even though we pride on like that diversity and like being our individual self and being different, but there then we're still looking to this standard, and I feel like a major part of it is indeed the media and how like the people that we see on the media, and most of them, like most of the actors I feel in Korea as well, they perform these surgeries because they still want to play roles and they need to look young and to have a longer career and more opportunities, and but that means that the general public will see that and as the norm, as to try to look as young as much as you can, and it's just sad that we're just trying to look a certain way and not trying to be our own self, looking to others instead of looking to ourselves. I feel like that is the biggest thing for me with the beauty standards. I know I unconsciously adhere to standards as well. I can't be a hypocrite and say I'm not, but I still feel like it's just, I feel sad that we have to. Yeah.
In that vein, I like that I get to watch celebrities in Korea and then celebrities from the US or the Western world because the beauty standards are so are different. And so the US does have a rhetoric of like be yourself, but they have certain standards still. But I don't know, when I get to watch both of them, it's like I get to choose almost. Like it feels like, oh, this is nice. Like, you know, because I'm reminded, like, ah, yes, there's these different celebrities who are trying to look very different ways. And so, like, that's so nice. Like, I don't know. There's something freeing about it. I guess I already mentioned that, but
I have a question. Do you feel like,
yeah.
because you also consume a lot of Korean content, right, Leslie? Do you feel like, I don't know if pressure, but do you feel the need to look a certain way by consuming these products? No?
Never. I only feel that when I watch American dramas or Western dramas. I never feel that way. I think it's because Korea for me has always been something that's not me. Like, I'm not Korean. I don't speak this language. This isn't my culture, but I'm enjoying the content and I want to, you know more about it. But I guess there's always this sense of separation. So I never feel like I'm held to the same standard. And as I mentioned, it's more freeing to me because I'm like, oh, these standards that like devastated me when I was watching these, you know, high school dramas in American high schools and like all the girls, they looked older than me for one thing, but they were so super thin and they wore tight-fitting clothing and they had sex all the time. And I'm like, who are these people? Like, I've never met anyone like that in high school. And I was like, if that's what a popular girl is, a girl who's popular with guys, a girl who looks really beautiful, and that's what it is, oh, I'll never do that. So when I watch Korean dramas, I'm like, this is completely different. Like the girls don't act the same and they don't look the same. And there are some things I liked. It's like I kind of liked how they do makeup better. It's not so like in your face. And they're definitely not having sex every day in these high school dramas. And like, I don't know. There was something like I kind of appreciate that this is different. And so I don't feel like, now that I know that there's differences, I don't feel like I have to meet this particular standard anymore. So I don't know. That's why it's hard for me to give up on Korea. I like it.
I'm asking because I notice a lot of people who embrace the culture fully, and by that I mean adhering to trends that are in Korea, beauty trends, fashion
Yeah.
trends, or just in general. Like, I think we talked about this in the cafe episode, but I used to like going in coffee, but my passion for cafes kind of started in Korea because there's so many, and I feel like a lot of people have done the same thing, just coming here and doing as the other Koreans are doing. I don't know, going to the picnic on Hanggang or going to these cafes or hunting for matchips. And I'm asking because I don't know. For me, this living here, it's I don't know. I can't help it sometimes to want to do these things as well because I do see it everywhere. I don't know how much about fashion trends because I don't fit the standard either.
I think your environment does affect you quite a lot. And I felt that after I stayed in Korea for some time, where I wanted to do the things that like young Korean people were doing. And then I also wanted to do things that other expats were doing. So there became like this other, like expats have their own sort of culture going on. And I wanted to fit that as well, of like going out a lot or things that didn't actually feel right to me, like right for my personality. It's like, oh, I'm gonna do this and this and this because this feels like the only way to hang out with people and I should enjoy this more. And so there were like other standards. I think wherever you go, you'll find a group. You know, if you're there long enough, you'll find a group and you'll start to feel like this is not so foreign anymore. This feels more familiar and this feels more necessary. When you used to think, that's how I think about Korean beauty standards too, where I thought like, oh, knowing someone's height and like weight is like really odd. Like they list that for celebrities. That's really odd. And now I'm like, oh, it's normal. Like things become normal and it becomes more standard once you become used to it. So you kind of have to wake yourself up again and be like, no, it's not real. Like it's all made up and it's okay to do it differently. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think growing up in Australia, I mean, the trends, different there. But I don't know, like, I think when I was younger, I think I, because I enjoyed makeup, I really was really into makeup growing up. Even though I had, like, I had really good skin, I had, like, flawless skin growing up, but I still would put on, you know, a lot of foundation, even though I tried to make it look natural. Like, it was really unnecessary, I guess. But you really only learn this, though, you know, when you get older, I think. When you're younger, you just want to try different things. You know, like, pluck my brows and do a lot of things. Like, you know, go quite heavy-handed with eyeshadow. And so even though, I still actually had fun, so I don't regret doing it necessarily. But coming to Korea, yeah, I really appreciate the more, like, natural looking makeup, because day to day most people don't wear like really heavy makeup here. I don't think, especially at work, you know, it's a bit more like subtle, and I think it, you know, I appreciate that now because I feel like I can appreciate my face without makeup, if that makes sense. So like, you know, there isn't that too much of a difference between me having makeup and not having makeup. And I think I learned to appreciate just what I have naturally, because of the, yeah, because of the trend, I guess. And when I first came to Korea, I think I didn't have a lot of self-esteem. I think I really didn't appreciate myself or really love myself, you know. It sounds cliche, but coming to Korea, I think I learned like the positive side of the kind of social pressure to look good or take, you know, look after your appearance. I really took it as, oh yeah, people value, you know, their appearance because they value themselves too, if that makes sense. Like, for me, I took it as like a, there is a positive to this, in that I do deserve to look after myself. I am worthy of putting effort in, and I feel good when I do that. I don't have to be perfect or necessarily fit into all the trends, but the mere fact that I can, like, I don't know, look after my skin or just work out a bit more, those kind of small changes, I think, really helped me, like, benefited me. Yeah, there are always, like, pros and cons to any trends or cultures, so I try to take that from the Korean culture, is that, yeah, I think I will take care of myself more. And because I feel good after doing that, but I don't necessarily have to adhere to every specifics of it necessarily. Oh, I was listening back to the first episode, the part one, and I was like, you asked me something about Korean beauty products or something like that, and I was like listing all these products that they're not even Korean products. And I'm like saying all these things and going off on a tangent. I was like, oh yeah,
we always do.
Probably done it again today.
I don't think we'll lose followers because they're like, that wasn't all Korean products. I came for Korean products. I think they came because they like us, right? Right?
Well, and they know it's a chaotic a podcast. They don't know what to expect, even because the title says beauty. We talk about philosophy all the time.
But that makes, I don't know, I enjoy talking to you guys about these kind of things because the conversation is richer.
I just like having the excuse to talk to you both.
Same.
Well, I guess we can wrap up. It was a great conversation, guys. Thank you so much. And thank you, Abby, especially.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back. And it was just, yeah, it was just fun chatting with you guys. I got to know your thoughts more, your experiences more. So I really appreciate this time.
Well, thank you so much. For the next episode, we have a lot of ideas, so stay tuned. We would also like to hear from you, what you want to hear us talk about, or any ideas you might have. We'll do our best to do them. Until next time, this was Allie
and Leslie.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. And Leslie, are you painting your face?
I'm putting stickers on.
Ah, why are you putting stickers on your face?
Is it a flower?
Why not? Allie, open your mind.
I love you just how you're just decorating your face. So pretty.
This one you can't see very well, though.
Is it glittery? I can kind of see them.
No. They're kind of glittery.
Oh, sparkle.
Oh, that's cute.
Beautiful.
You're in your workroom, right? You can, like, paint your face, Abby.
Oh, I'm not sure if I want to paint my face Indian ink or acrylic paint.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you with my antics. However, I am not sorry that I
forgot what I was talking about.